movie nerd. Can you dig it? In movie nerds we trust. What do you put your trust in? Your currency, gold, or the knowledge? The people are coming at you right now. Movie nerds that think they know one thing more than you do. Just one more thing, one more thing, one more thing that you do that makes them a nerd. Oh, sweet and sour.
Welcome to In Movie Nerds We Trust, the movie recommendation podcast for nights when you're not quite sure what to watch. I'm your host, Christopher James.
I'm Quincy Staker.
And not only am I a comedian, I'm a fan of comedy. So wherever you're at locally, be sure to check out those shows. You know, support local comedy, go to those venues. But if you're here in Salt Lake City, Utah, February 23rd, Todd Barry is going to be at Downtown Salt Lake Wise Guys. It's going to be $20, and it's going to start at 7:30 p.m. Pauly Shore will be here from February 24th through the 25th. That's also at the Downtown Salt Lake Wise Guys. $25 for that, and it's 7 p.m. or 9:30 p.m. shows for both those nights. And if you're in L.A., February 28th, past guest and buddy of the podcast, Tim Drake is going to be doing his 100th live episode of On the Mic podcast at the Nerdist Showroom at the Meltdown in L.A., 7 p.m. It's going to feature Jesse Knight, Austin Grant, myself, and special guest, the Lady to Lady podcast, Brandy Posey, Barbara Gray, and Tess Barker. So you can get those tickets at nerdmeltla.com, and you can just click on the calendar for that. Again, it's February 28th, and those are $10. Quincy, hello.
Hello.
I say this a lot. It feels like it's been a while.
I know. We've been taking it easy a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of stuff. What's new?
Honestly, not a whole lot with me.
No?
No.
You got a fancy new haircut.
Well, it's not that much different from what it was before, is it?
Yeah, I feel like it is.
Okay.
No, it looks great.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
I haven't seen
it's
you in
a little
a while.
Shorter, yeah.
Yeah, but you're rocking it.
No, thanks.
Yeah, so you got the 2017 look.
Yeah.
You're killing it.
Mm-hmm. I figured I'd let my hair be short for at least a full year.
Oh, a full year?
Yeah.
Oh,
before
nice.
I let it actually start going out. I don't know. I'm kind of to the point where I'm like, I think I'll keep short hair for a while.
I thought about dyeing my hair, but I feel like I'm 31 and I probably shouldn't do that.
What color were you thinking of dyeing it?
Well, I'm definitely not bleaching it because I'll look 12 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, like a mahogany brown?
Probably wouldn't be that bad.
I don't know.
If you did, like, more your natural color or close to that, you'd look fine. But, like, if you did anything else, you'd look like you were trying to be like a frat boy.
Sure, yeah, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I had my boy band / frat boy look in junior high. Did not work for me.
Yeah,
I would dye it black, but I feel like I look Pugsley Adams grown up. You know, it's just not a good look. Pale skin. No. How are things been in the last couple weeks? Like, you seen any movies? You done anything exciting?
I was actually sick for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, shit, so, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was, it's all that inversion.
I know, right? I keep feeling, like, stuffy like a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what I do, it's like, oh, one day I'm great. I can enunciate. And then, of course, like, the last episode, I sounded like someone took two fucking cotton balls and shoved them up my nose.
I did not notice.
Oh, I was really bad.
Oh, I did not notice.
Yeah, I re-listened to that episode, and I did not sound great. So I celebrated Valentine's Day with my lady friend.
How was that?
Pretty good.
How does she feel about you calling her your lady friend?
Well, it's girlfriend. I don't know. I don't know why I said lady friend. That sounds like a friend who's a lady.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. There we go. Vernacular. There we go. I got a lot of compliments on the old Valentine's Day night.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, it was her first Valentine's Day and our first Valentine's Day together.
Mm-hmm.
I did some candles on the bar and some flowers, and I decided to make her a Valentine's Day basket filled with things that we bonded over.
Aww.
So I got her a blue French horn necklace because we love How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her the cat from the Flubber episode because she loved that fucking episode so much. I don't know why. I'm starting to get a complex because her and her friends are yelling Flubber at me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm getting insecure about it.
I don't know what to tell you.
Schoolyard taunts and you fuckers making fun of me for all.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, those other fuckers.
Yeah.
Those other fuckers. Excuse me. And I got her a framed Deadpool comic book.
Cool.
And a Toy Story, like, Valentine's Day card. So it's pretty good. And then she got me a pop-up Star Wars book.
Cool.
It's like really awesome. And then she got us, for the podcast, she got us a marquee.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty fancy. And then I took her to go see La La Land yesterday.
How was that?
You know, I actually love that movie, but I did not love the experience I had watching the movie in the theater.
Why?
Well, okay, so some guy's phone kept going off, and then someone's like told him to shut up, and he's like, I'm trying, that's why I sat on my phone. So he didn't just turn it off, he just sat on the phone like a dipshit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the end, people were like going like this, like, oh. They were not happy because it wasn't a like Disney happy ending.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've been trying to see a lot of movies. I saw Lego Batman. Did you get a chance to see that?
I haven't, not yet.
Watch it. Will Arnett, amazing in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying these hemp drops. So they're called from this business called Charlotte's Web. So they're like really great. Like I feel amazing. When I take them, they're like completely legal. They've got like THC in them, but I heard them from Pete Holmes' podcast, You Made It Weird, which he just had his show come out on Sunday, Crashing on HBO, which was fucking great. I don't know if you got a chance to watch
it. I recorded it. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
I watched it this morning on the way to work. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the next one. TJ Miller's on the next one. I love TJ Miller. Can't get enough of him. He's coming to town, I think, March 8th.
Cool.
So I'm going to definitely go to those show. But yeah, I am, and then I'm planning the trip to LA. We're leaving Friday. It's a lot of stuff, of stuff happening. But yeah, I'm excited. I miss podcasting. I don't know about you, but I've missed, doing the show. There's not enough time in the week.
Yeah.
To do things.
I
almost want to start doing cocaine so I have more time to do things.
That's stupid.
It's stupid, but I'm like, if I like do it like well, like, you know, like in small doses, maybe I can stay awake long enough to get more shit done.
No, that's still stupid.
Well,
you're still doing an illegal substance that you will eventually get addicted to.
That's true. You're a voice of reason, you know. Maybe I'll invent a pill that lets me stay up like an American Dad.
Okay.
There's an episode.
Why don't you just get some caffeine pills?
Well, that's addictive, too.
Yeah, but they're not illegal.
Okay, they're legal cocaine.
Yeah, or you could just start drinking coffee.
I feel like I've become immune to coffee.
Then you'd probably be immune to caffeine pills, too.
Yeah, like, legit, the most shots of espresso I've had in one day is 9. Yeah, didn't do shit.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure. Okay. I crashed hardcore. But I'm excited because our episode 107, we have a very special guest, local photographer, Logan Swartzen.
Hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
I am very good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, very welcome. I wanted to have you on because, of course, you did those amazing photos for the Slug Magazine article that we did for the localized show.
For the Slug localized showcase.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I missed that show, but, you know, just schedule conflicts and all that kind of stuff. But hope it was a good time.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Good.
But those headshots, on point, sir.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I got to do those. I really enjoy doing headshots in general and just people is... in pictures and everything, is they're the most interesting subject. But I also really like people who are entertainers, people who are kind of get what they need to from like either stage or film or music or something like that. And so just, you know, gathering you guys in the same place and shooting them one after the other is super easy for me. And I'm glad they turn out really well.
Yeah. I've seen you do like a lot of band, entertainment, like photos and stuff at concerts.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do like live music and musicians and stuff like that. It's really fun just because it takes the pressure off of me because I'm not directing them every 10 seconds of like, oh, actually, you know, drop this shoulder or, you know, look this way. They're doing their own thing. And when they're into it, it's really fun for me.
Nice. Well, what got you into photography initially?
You know, it was kind of just like, always liked, you know, everyone likes taking photos, right? Everyone likes taking photos of whatever they see. But one time I just bought myself a nice DSLR from work. I got a discount when I was working at the hospital I work at. And then I just started taking pictures of whatever I was doing. Had a friend that managed an open mic at a local bar. And then I started taking photos of that. And then one person kind of said, hey, I'm in a band. Come to Urban Lounge and take some photos. And I was like, all right. And then it kind of just, you know, snowballs and get magazines involved. And then you go from there.
So how long have you been doing stuff for Slug?
Slug has been about maybe 3 years now, something like that.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really cool. A really good resource there. And they're super nice. Everyone's awesome. Can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at some of your photography stuff, and, like, you know, not only it's great, but you've done, like, some really big, like, concerts, some big event-type stuff, too.
Yeah, definitely. My favorite stuff coming up, I mean, Comic-Con, right? That Fan X. Fan X is coming up, and I really enjoy covering that for Slug, because not only do you get international talent that comes to Salt Lake City, which is, you know, kind of rare in itself, but you get some of my nerd heroes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Nobody really remembers, like, Jason Isaacs in Black Hawk Down or something, but he was in that. No one remembers, you know, Cary Elwes from Princess Bride. I mean, nobody remembers him in that. So, I mean, it's awesome that he comes to town and gets to cover that kind
of
stuff.
They're actually, I think, having a good amount of the cast from Princess Bride this round.
Yeah, yeah. They have, like, really Wallace Shawn.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's obviously awful that they don't have Andre the Giant, but
unfortunately.
As many as we can get, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're getting, like, Vern Troyer this time.
Yeah. Which I thought was so crazy. And I didn't even know. He's, like, been a lot of the characters in Harry Potter series. Right?
Yeah.
He's been, like, some of the bankers, some of the teachers.
Yeah, him and Warwick Davis have, like, done
so
a lot.
Crazy.
And then I know we're getting Weird Al, which I'm super excited for.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's kind of like, it's funny. Comic-Con has some guests that you're like, oh, that doesn't really pertain to, like, comics or pop culture or something. But, like, Weird Al. Like,
yeah.
You're going to draw a crowd no matter what. Just put him on a stage and let it roll. Yeah.
I am, fingers crossed, hoping we can get a little interview with him.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, as a photographer, I just don't have the reasoning to even ask for something like that. You know, sometimes I'll be like, hey, manager of this person, can I get a real quick? No? Okay. You know, get a picture or something. But interviews would be so much fun.
Yeah. And then we're, like, the Aquaman from, like, the new Justice League.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that. They announced that a couple days ago.
Yeah. Who every girl I know has been drooling over.
So
that.
Cool. Yeah.
Quincy.
What? Who? Who now?
Aquaman from the new Justice League.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah. Drooling a little bit, too?
Nah.
Yeah? Okay. Well,
he's all right. I mean, he's good looking, but I don't know.
Then you were the exception to the rule, then.
Big muscular guys don't really do it for me.
Yeah.
That much.
Like, kind of threatening.
Yeah,
like, Khal Drogo, he'll just rip you in half. That's what he'll do. Just
It's like
take
the
your
Rock.
Throat and rip it out. Yeah.
Like, what girl's gonna, you know, be like, oh yeah, so I want to get, you know, have a little fun with that and maybe get, you know, tossed around the room like a beanbag toy.
He's kind of like this generation's Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, right?
Kind of,
a little bit.
Up and coming, kind of quiet, but whatever. He doesn't really do the bodybuilding aspect, but he definitely is just like a ripped dude that's going to be in everything now.
Yeah, he doesn't taunt other bodybuilders by calling them little bitches like Schwarzenegger did.
Totally. Hasn't picked any fights yet. He's been nice.
I'll admit, I actually
haven't had any sexual harassment scandals come out
true.
Or anything.
We just have to wait. We have to be patient.
Knocked up, you know, house cleaners.
So. Yeah.
He did taunt Donald Trump the other day because Trump's like, oh yeah, all the TV stuff's failing, you know.
Yeah.
Which,
Donald Trump says a lot of things.
Yeah, that guy's a dipshit, so. Yeah. But Arnold Schwarzenegger's retaliation video to that is like, okay, how about I be president and people can sleep at night and you run, you know, The Apprentice and get better ratings?
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, you just got terminated, Trump.
I saw that. He just kind of called him out. He's like, listen, you're the showman. You do the reality TV. Let someone else do this. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe just here's a term instead of like Terminator, you've been terminated. Maybe from now on with Schwarzenegger, it's like you've been juniored. Yeah, I'm going to go with junior. You've been junior, Trump. Nobody likes that movie. I love it.
I think it's just because it's in that era of like, Danny DeVito and him were in like four things at once, right? That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then it went so under the radar and people, it was like popularity at its highest. And then it's like, wait, he's a pregnant guy now? Okay.
I don't think anybody really thought about it until like the moment had passed. And you're like, wait a minute, we made that movie popular? And
Yeah. Legit, I saw that movie in theaters when I was a kid. And I'm very proud of that.
I don't think I saw it in theaters. Yeah. I know I saw it on TV a lot.
Yeah.
It was definitely one of those ones where you walk around Blockbuster Hollywood Video and kind of like, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, all right, this could be funny.
The movie where he's pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss strolling around those stores.
I do too.
I also miss working there because I felt like Randall from Clerks, to where I could say whatever the fuck I wanted.
Mm-hmm. You worked at Blockbuster?
Oh yeah, I worked at 3 of them and a Hollywood Video.
Nice. I used to work at Blockbusters too.
Oh yeah, what one?
Just the 4th South Downtown Street.
Nice.
5th East. Yeah, yeah.
I think I did like a little like fill-in like shift there one time. It's like a mattress store now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah. Isn't it sad you'll just go by where Blockbusters used to be and they're like something else, but you can still see the like sun, like, you know,
you can still see like the filthy outline of the ticket marquee. Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
Blockbuster.
Oh, man. If I could time travel, I would just stroll through a Blockbuster and laugh.
Yeah.
It was so great, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Friday night, you just go there for like an hour, walk around and be like, yeah, what's the most ridiculous movie I can find?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here's one with, you know, Joe Pesci from the 90s with Arnold as a pregnant guy. Get that one. And then you go over here and get like the horror movie from 1970 that's totally B-rated. Bam, get that one. It's 79 cents today, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my friends used to get movies, then we'd get games for sleepovers and like just hardcore GoldenEye or like Mario Party and just...
Oh, heck yeah. Late fees on those games.
Oh, yeah. Need for Speed. Fuck, I forgot about that. Ugh. If I could just... You know what they should do? Blockbuster theme park.
Totally.
It's a giant Blockbuster store, and you get to walk through, and you have the experience again.
I think that would be more like a museum than a theme park.
Maybe they've got rides. You know,
interactive,
but that would be cool. They could have like old VHS tapes and like show the what's the word I'm looking for? The transition from like VHS to DVDs.
Yeah, like the history of 1980s and 90s experience.
They could probably even have some beta stuff.
Ooh,
yeah.
Betamax.
Maybe some laser disc.
Bring it back.
Yeah. Let's see, what was their beta and what was the other?
VHS.
Yeah, VHS. Yeah. Yeah.
Laser disc could be on the bottom shelf, like generic cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get a VR and like experience what it's like to rent a movie at Blockbuster and deal with customer service.
Mm-hmm. They could even have like just like one shelf of the HD things when were a thing.
Oh god, yeah, man. The war between Blu-ray and HD.
I totally still have some HD DVDs.
Oh, really?
I do.
What do you play it on?
When the Xbox 360 first came out, they attached like a little USB player to that.
Oh,
so I still have that.
Right.
And that came with 5 free movies, and then they were just, you know, selling them for 50 cents when the stores were selling them out. So I have, you know, like maybe 20 movies just on HD DVD I can play on the Xbox 360 only.
I feel, though, if they did the Blockbuster Museum, they would have to attach a wing for the Blockbuster Music Store.
Oh, yeah, that kind of died out quickly, right?
Yeah.
They tried to, like, take out, was it Borders Books and Music and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of era,
Oh, man.
I do not remember that at all.
Guys, let's set up a Kickstarter for a Blockbuster
Museum. Okay.
That's a fucking genius idea.
I think we can get $100,000 to set up a little mock store.
Fuck that, $500,000.
Donate your like have people donate their old VHS tapes that they don't want.
Get and those Disney clamshells.
Get this.
Have a lot of those.
You have a what?
I have a lot of like the Disney clamshells.
Oh fuck,
VHS
I love those.
Yeah.
Do you have the old Little Mermaid with the dick on it?
Yep.
Nice.
I have that. I've got Mulan, Robin Hood, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yep.
I actually was thinking about going to the DI and taking like VHS case covers and like framing them and turning them into like decor.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You totally could.
Yeah.
Or just go there and get like, if they're in good condition, just get a bunch of tapes and like put them in like a shadow box or something. Just stack them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like how people hang up like the old record cases and stuff like that.
definitely. I mean, that artwork, that's not going to be reproduced again. One that I still have, I actually bought it like the DI for 50 cents. It was just like 1989 Batman, so it's just like Batman, just the tape, all in good condition. I just keep it in a box, but you know, just like, I don't know, I like that. I want to keep it around.
I have like this box set of Nightmare on Elm Street, and it's like on the side of it, it's got Freddy Krueger like pictured, like each VHS together makes a Freddy picture.
That is ominous.
And it's remastered and it's got different like artwork on it.
That is very cool.
So I want to do something like that. Oh, so okay. So the museum workers at the Blockbuster Museum, they wear Blockbuster uniforms.
Oh, they have to.
Well,
yellow collars. They have to have the yellow collars.
Yep.
Fucking hated those shirts so
the
goddamn
polos
much.
And the khaki pants.
When I worked
was it khakis?
Yeah, it was khakis.
Oh, it was khakis.
Yeah. Hollywood Video, you could wear black pants. Blockbuster, it was khakis.
And then one person has to have, like, 50 keys just walking around.
Oh, God, yeah. And then you could, like, test out the small bathrooms in there. And also, you can go to the concession stand and try to get ripped off for a deal for popcorn and movies.
Get a box of Bunch of Crunch for $5, whatever.
And you can stand in a line just to drop a movie in the drop box.
When you go to that, though, one random person will be selected. You know, every 15 people, one will be selected. Like, I'm sorry, you have $1,000 worth of late fees.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, we have to pay these right now, or else we're reporting you to the credit company.
Oh, yeah, VR, dispute your late fee charges. And then, you know, rewind charges, too, when that was a fucking thing back then.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Guys, I'm really excited about this thing that does not exist.
Oh, yeah. This needs to happen. It should be in some random place like Des Moines, Iowa. There should just be a Blockbuster museum, and people will just go there.
Yeah, you get an old Costco store, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
Fuck.
An old IKEA, just make it a confusing place to get out of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much things you could do there.
One room is Blockbuster, one room is Hollywood Video. The next room is the local video store, like, you know, Family Dollar version.
In Vernal, it was like Video Movie Land was the local version. Yeah. And it was like a two-story thing because it was in like one of the little like strip mall shops on Main Street.
Yeah.
Super family friendly.
Yeah.
I legit still have end cap posters from Hollywood Video and Blockbuster. Oh, like the giant ones.
The ones that are like vinyl. Like they're just big sheets of memorabilia. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have one for 40, or no, Knocked Up and like Anchorman and a couple other ones.
Those are good ones to have.
Yeah. One day I will find frames big enough for those.
I know, I'm kind of sad I didn't keep more of that stuff, but I would just have an apartment full of old Blockbuster stuff if I did.
Oh, yeah. I'm sad that when I worked at Hollywood Video, I did not keep my X-Men 3 like cardboard cutout like thing, my Borat one, and my like Optimus Prime from the first Transformers.
Oh, yeah. Those cardboard ones take up too much space.
I know, but like my living room looked like a like cool... I mean, I can't do it now. I'm 31. I mean, you know.
I think you could still do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Your front room would just have to look like the lobby at a movie theater, right? You just have to put like glass on the bar to make it look like a concession stand.
What if I make a mock-up Blockbuster museum out of like a garage?
Oh, yeah.
And see what people think about
One storage pod.
Yes.
You go in, it's just a desk and like one wall of movies.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm really passionate about this Blockbuster museum.
We gotta keep the past alive.
I can't fucking get over it. I can't even concentrate. Jeez. Well, do you have any cool like events that you're going to be covering for your photography? Any like cool things that you're going to be adding to your website soon?
Yeah. So, like we were talking about when I walked in, I just got back from a trip from Iceland.
Nice.
So I got, you know, you take a couple hundred shots, but you only keep maybe 10 or 20 or whatever.
Yeah. Good ones.
So I really want to get, I took a bunch of pictures of landscapes and waterfalls and stuff that. So I want to get like maybe just like my 10 best shots and kind of make some like prints of those, see how people like those, maybe sell a couple of them, maybe 10 each or something limited, you know. And then coming up, I mean, FanX, Salt Lake Comic Con is coming up. I think I'm covering that again for Slug Magazine. That's always a great time.
So you just go walk around, like, just snap some candid shots of people in cosplay?
Yeah, I try and get, you know, you always try and tell a story with your pictures. So I'll try and get maybe, like, 5 or 10 each day, try and get people enjoying themselves, out with their family, get some good cosplay in there. Yeah. And then really try and get celebrities on stage. Just get like a good stage portrait.
Yeah.
Someone laughing. Someone I haven't seen every day on, you know, Google search. You know, you see the same picture. It's just someone staring on the red carpet. And you're just like, okay, not that. But yeah, some people enjoying themselves. Get some of the people I'm a fan of. And yeah, just have a good time.
I love some of those like ballroom shots. You know, like the grand ballroom. Like during the... Those are like... I know they like had their like... regular photographers there, and you'll see them on Facebook after the events go through. But what I really love is like just those candid shots of random like cosplayers, which I try to get while I'm doing their stuff there too.
Yeah, definitely. Some people spend, I mean, every event they'll spend months and months and months on the gun they have in their outfit or the crown that they made or something. It's pretty crazy.
I'm kind of wondering like what's going to be the hot like cosplay thing. You think probably Suicide Squad still?
Probably. Suicide Squad, Deadpool. I'm a little sad because I do a X-23 costume, but hardly anybody got it. And now that Logan's coming out, I'm like, oh, there's going to be a million there come September.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm not going to be original.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna feel Logan. Sad. There's going to be a dirty Logan on in every hallway.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, there kind of usually is, but not like, you know, more dirty, like Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know? Some really shitty Wolverines I've seen there, unfortunately.
With the foam claws that are painted with the
But it's just like buff dudes who are like hairy and they're like, oh, I could grow my sideburns out and look like Wolverine.
Their beard gets sticking out. They're like, oh, yeah. You totally pull it off.
There's always like two or three assholes who just want to walk around with their shirts off.
Yeah.
I get you're in shape. Good for you.
Yeah.
Let's put some paint on it. Show it off and flex for people. I will tell you though, like some of my favorite costumes are like the random ones. Like there was the Spaceballs one that I saw. I think they do it every year. Like one of these guys dresses like Barf from Spaceballs.
That's so good.
Yeah, and
I like the ones. I don't know if they do it every year, but last couple of years there have been three guys that dress up as the male geishas from Mulan.
Yeah,
and
I saw
they
that.
Do a really good job.
They just go all out.
Yep. They, yeah.
They're the ones pausing at home and just freeze framing like, okay, eye makeup. Yes.
Yes.
Good.
Blue.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
Well, that's what I love about like Comic-Con and like cosplay stuff is it's like these are people who normally don't get an opportunity to flourish their talents.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a lot of like I try to get a picture with everybody that I can.
Oh yeah.
In the costumes. Like I got a picture with a guy who had like an amazing Ninja Turtle costume last year. Like it was like movie quality top notch.
It's crazy because like they'll have these costumes and it's like, how do you move around? You're there for 3 days. Do you take it off? Do you go to the bathroom? But you got to admire like the amount of work they put into it because they're just the paint, the color, the texture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect. You're like, okay, you're from a movie set. Where'd you come from?
Well, that's another thing too. It's like, I want to dress up, but then at the same time, I'm like, I'm going to be doing interviews. Then of course, what if I want to go get a picture with one of the celebrities there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to be in costume for that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you just take one day to cosplay.
Yeah, I know, but usually, like, I'm thinking, like, oh, maybe I'll do the last day, but that's, like, the busiest day. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been wanting to do my Alan.
Well, then do it one of the other 2 days.
Yeah, probably.
Well, this one's only 2 days.
Yeah, it's only 2 days.
Yeah. Kind of takes that advantage away. Usually Thursdays are a good one because walk around, it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I'm going to L.A. next week, I'm going to go this. There's this record store called Amoeba, so I'm going to try to get... Oh, have you heard of that place?
No, but I just say record stores.
It's basically like, it looks like the record store from, what is that movie? It starts with an E.
Oh, is it Empire Records?
Yes, thank you.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It has that feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, like, amazing, like, stuff. So I'm going to try to snag some Weird Al, like, soundtracks.
Nice.
Get those signed. Yeah, maybe get my girlfriend something special. Maybe some comedy ones.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have vinyl players or record players now still, right?
Yeah. Records are kind of making a comeback.
Yeah, they sell players everywhere nowadays.
Yeah, you can get them at Best Buy. You can even just get like a little small one at FYE.
Yeah, right.
Oh, nice.
$20 or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not bad.
Dinky, but it'll play. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to do that. We should get started on our movies. Said episode number 107, Knights of a Different Roundtable. Basically just movies with the knights from different lands, you know, whether they're mystical or, you know, vicious. This one, of course, the 1987 classic Princess Bride.
Yay!
Such a classic.
I love this movie.
Yeah, I love this movie so much. Like, Cary Elwes, Robin Wright's in this. You know,
it was her first movie.
Yeah, that's right. It was her first movie. Mandy Patinkin, who was Indigo Montoya, which I love his character so much.
Yeah, endlessly quotable.
Yeah.
Just every scene in that movie.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn, Andre the Giant, a very young Fred Savage, Peter Falk.
Forgot. Yeah, the grandfather and the grandson in the beginning, like, what a way to enter into a movie. You know, like, it's being narrated. It's just this story going on or whatever. But that means kind of anything can happen, which is so cool.
Plus, you get the nice shot of the old school, like, Sega, like, baseball game.
So good.
I had a weird thought when I was watching this movie. Like, I figured, like, because the grandpa, the actor, he was in Columbo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Peter Falk?
Like, yeah.
The 70s detective show?
Like, this is what Columbo did when he retired. He goes and reads to his grandchildren.
that's so cool. Just like they took that from real life and just made him. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So I have like a weird, like, maybe it's like a shared universe.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Columbo, once he left Fred Savage's room, he went and just jacked some people, arrested some criminals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he's retired. He's, like, retired, and he just visits his family.
Columbo slash Batman.
Yeah, because in this movie, he's, like, pretty old.
Yeah, he was pretty old. I mean, you know, grandpa, 60-something.
Is he even still alive?
No, he died a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, like 6 years ago. Oh, shame. Same with Andre the Giant, of course, unfortunately, is another person that passed away from this movie. I love Andre the Giant in this movie. He's doing his little rhyme things, and, like, Wallace Shawn's telling him, like, shut up, be quiet.
Yeah, they really found a way to incorporate, I mean, wrestlers in movies, not always a good thing.
No.
They found a way to incorporate, like, his kind of speech impediment he had, and his kind of, like, slow lumberingness, and they totally made it work. They made him a lovable giant.
Yeah.
That, would you like a peanut? Like, I love that part so much. I love every character in this movie. Of course, not the king, because, you know, he's...
But even him, even he's kind of got, like, just a love-to-hate quality about him.
I guess so. I'll give you that.
Like the, he knows he's an asshole, but he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm an asshole, but I'm not going to be till like, the right moment, and then when I reveal I'm an asshole, I'm going to be even more maniacal.
It was interesting, because I was watching Dog Day Afternoon over the weekend, and Chris Sarandon, who plays Prince Humperdinck, is in that.
Oh, yeah.
He plays Al Pacino's quote-unquote wife.
Yeah.
In that movie. He's really good in it, too.
Oh, I almost don't even recognize him. Things, but, like, you know, when you see him, you're like, oh, shit, that's
like,
that guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Carol Kane and Billy Crystal's part in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I forgot. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Billy. Of course it's Billy Crystal. Sounds fucking like. And, of course, Carol Kane has, like, that noticeable voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
I love those two as, like, the old, like, wizard-like couple.
Get back, witch.
Yeah.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
Oh, my gosh. You cannot go a day or two without just hearing someone quote that. You know,
have
seen her
have
that
fun
movie,
storm
but
in the castle.
I love how they basically act like an old Jewish couple, which is perfect. It's like, what? I don't want the king. He took away my confidence.
Yeah. I love that there's like no consistent accent throughout the film. Like everybody has their and brings it and makes it their own character, and that's kind of how they're also distinguished.
It's the one fantasy film not dedicated to being in England.
Yeah.
Well, Wesley,
or even
like,
then
even
when they're French and they're still speaking with English accents.
Yeah. Well, like the Wesley character didn't have that accent when he started the movie, and then all of a sudden he's got this, you know.
Well, he kind of did. Yeah, he just didn't say much in the beginning of the movie.
As you wish.
Yeah, that was pretty much all.
I'll tell you what.
That's what Cary Elwes says when you meet him to every woman.
Really?
And then he
hugs them and
$1,000.
He whispers "as you wish" in their ears. I know because it was done to me a couple years ago.
Oh shit! I
kind of
wish I was a lady just to get that experience.
Yeah.
As you wish.
He's so nice. He's so charming.
I've heard a lot, and I'm actually really glad he's coming back because I didn't get a chance to see him last time.
Mm-hmm.
Now's your chance.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
got to get in there and be like, listen, just whisper it to me. Just a little bit.
I may not look like it, but I'm dying and I'm a Make-A-Wish kid. I'm actually really 10. But have you seen that movie Jack? Like, I have that disease, except I age and gain a lot of weight. So if you could please... whisper as I wish, I can, you know, die with a smile.
You wish.
As you wish, yeah. As I wish, jeez. Damn it, I fucked it up.
Yeah.
I need to get the shit straight before I try that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to meet Wallace Shawn, too, because I love his character, too. The whole, it's inconceivable.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the meme all in itself right there. You can put inconceivable on anything, and you're just like, oh, it's gold. It's perfect.
I saw an inconceivable shirt, and I'm like, I think I need to buy that, like, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I recently, like, I went to T-Fury and bought a couple of shirts. I bought, like 11 with waffles coming at her, but she's got that little psychic wave.
Mm-hmm.
And all the waffle boxes say 11 on it.
Oh, nice.
And then I got a Futurama one with Fry dressed as Marty McFly riding a hoverboard.
That's sweet.
So I was like, I was thinking about, like, I should get some Princess Bride shirts. Like, I've never had a Princess Bride shirt.
Mm-hmm. I never have either. I should find one.
It's a future purchase. T-Fury and, like, $6 tees, I think, has some. Or no,
$6
shirts.
Who what?
T-Fury.
Okay.
And $6 shirts.
Okay. I'm also
going
to.
Which is a good one, yeah. I also really like the cutscenes when, you know, you're really in the story, but the kid jumps in and then he's like, oh, wait, no, like, I don't want to hear about the kissing or I don't want to hear about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost kind of want to, like, shut the fuck up, kid. I'm like, really into the story.
Just
right
listen
now.
To the goddamn story.
Shut the fuck up, Fred Savage. You know what Wonder Years I wonder about? When you shut the fuck up during Princess Bride. I love, did you ever see Little Monsters? With him and his brother, like,
I've heard of it. I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
I think I mentioned on the podcast before, Howie Mandel's in it. He pisses in like a bottle and this kid drinks it.
That sounds sounds scandalous.
That sounds
you know, working at Blockbuster, that's enjoyable. One of those movies, though. I walked past it 1,000 times, and I can picture the cover right in my face.
Yeah.
But, you know, never saw it.
Did you ever get, like, going back to Blockbuster for a quick second, did you ever get people asking you if you had porn there?
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. If it wasn't a joke, they were, no one was ever really serious, but, like, they'd be like, hey, so where are they?
Everybody was serious when they asked me. Apparently, I have porn face.
It was apparently kind of odd that there wasn't like that black back room with the black curtain over it.
Well, it's Utah. It's...
What, any of them, really?
Well, you look at shit nowadays with that Governor Herbert doing that ridiculous porn ban thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Public health crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the air.
No. Not like the, drug usage or opioids or anything like that. No.
You know, the air's filled with sin. Stop watching porn.
That's what I said when I was sick. I posted something like, I've been sick for the last week. It must be all that porn in the air.
Yeah, really. Yeah, all thanks, that Herbert. Porn goes through the Wi-Fi. The air's got like an STD or something. I don't know. You know, this is kind of weird, but maybe it was an underlined jack-off joke. But you remember when, like, Montoya, like, he was talking about how he likes to use his left hand, but if he uses his right hand, it will be over too quickly?
Yeah, right? I mean, there's some subtext there.
Yeah, I feel like there is. Okay, maybe it's just my perv brain, but I felt like, is that a jerk-off joke?
I feel like you just took the curtain back, and I just saw the wizards here Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Because that's exactly probably how it was, right? They're talking back behind set. They're like, listen, the script says this, but I'm gonna slip this in. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Total adult innuendo here and there.
I love the fight scene between them, by the way. Like, they're just like, he's helping him up the cliff, and, you know, they're like, I'll give you my word, you know, and then they start, of course, they're admiring each other, you know,
as
a fencing.
They kind of bond a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, like, even with Andre, the giant, like, they kind of bond as well. Like, and then they band together at the end, which I thought was awesome. And I really like, he's just, like, casually talking with Andre the giant as he's just ramsacking him into a boulder. And then ends up, like, making the guy knock out. Like, what the fuck, really?
As they're casually trying to kill each other, they're having a civilized conversation.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same with, like, him and Montoya. Like,
don't they say, like, you seem a decent fellow, I hate to kill you. You seem a decent fellow, I hate to die.
Yeah.
The dialogue in those scenes is so good.
Yeah. I mean, I also love the, like, Wallace Shawn, like, that whole, like, I'm a scholar, I'm a genius, like, I know everything, and he switches the cups, and then, of course, the poison is in both.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, hey, it's a kind of a pattern, right? I mean, they have a good conversation with Inigo Montoya. They respect each other.
Yeah.
Nobody dies.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good conversation with between the giant and him.
Yeah.
Nobody dies. Wallace Shawn, he's like, hey, I'm better than you. Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a moral in there somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe not judge a book by its cover and think you're better than everybody.
Yeah.
End up getting poisoned.
Yeah. Didn't see that as inconceivable, did you? Huh? Fucked up. Fucked up big time.
I love doesn't Wallace Shawn have a line that's just like, you're trying to kidnap what I've rightfully stolen or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That line always just cracks me up.
No, it's so good with the princess being just like drugged out and they're climbing up the cliffs of insanity and just like, listen, you, brigand, get off our tails. We've stolen her. It's fine. Just don't try and steal her back.
Yeah.
That's so perfect.
I love when, I always feel like I pronounce his name wrong. Is it Indigo or?
Indigo, yeah.
Indigo Montoya.
Inigo
Montoya.
Is there a D in there?
I think. Let's see. No, it's Inigo Montoya.
Inigo, yeah.
He's like trying to get like Wallace Shawn to hurry up. He's like, you're going to have to give me a minute unless you toss down a rope. They just can't. Oh, there you go. I love this story, too, as well. Like, his father was killed by a six-fingered man, and he left him these scars, and it's his life mission to avenge his father's death. Mm-hmm. And then there's that just that shot of like one of the king's men, and you see six fingers, and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, yeah, some cool subtext and just like a little plot here and there. You kind of don't think anything of it. You know, just like, oh, six finger man, blah, blah. Oh, that's how we learned how to fight and everything. Okay, cool. Scene ends. It doesn't mention it for a little while. And then you're like, oh, snap.
Yeah, nice little twist.
Christopher Guest. He murdered his father.
Yeah. Yep. Well, then, of course, you like, I remember, like, as a kid, just sitting on the edge of my seat during that fight between those two.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah. And then you see Inigo Montoya getting stabbed. You're like, no. You have to avenge your father's death.
And it's so satisfying that he just rallies and comes back and just kicks his ass.
Totally. He had like a Boromir moment, you know, mm-hmm. right? He was stabbed like seven times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he just like, you know what? I need to do this. He's going to die. Got it.
Yeah.
And you notice that he like stabs him and cuts him in the same places that he got stabbed.
Yeah,
and
yeah
cut.
On
like
his
he
face,
gives him
yeah.
the two cuts on the face, and then he stabs him in the arm, the shoulder, and then eventually the stomach.
Yeah,
too.
Perfect, perfect symmetry way to end the scene, mm-hmm. and just with that line, you know, "Want my father back, you son of a bitch."
Mm-hmm. Well, I even like him gaining because he gets weak, and then he's like, "I'm Inigo Montoya. I'm here to avenge my father."
It's kind of like his battle cry.
Yeah,
almost.
It starts to give him like totally. Strength and everything, and he starts to be like, "I am Inigo Montoya. I'm here to kill you.
Oh. You killed my father."
Every time he takes that dagger out in the movie, mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, ugh, mm-hmm. oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Just like that purple blood coming out. I know it's fake, but it's just so gross.
Oh, yeah. Then, of course, like the whole, like, Cary Elwes getting that suction machine, pain machine, and you think he's dead, and you're like, oh, you're like, I remember, like, rewatching this, like, because it's been a long time since I watched this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of felt a little bit like Fred Savage, like, oh, shit, is he dead?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that machine and like the dungeon in the tree. That's a
nightmarish
kind of stuff.
Yeah. He's like, I'm writing a book, and I just want to know a little bit about how you're feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like you're at Olive Garden. They try to bother you at the table. Can I get a little survey here? What's
I always post that meme on daylight savings when we spring forward, and it's like, I just sucked 1 hour of your life away.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel?
That's so good.
Oh, I love that. I just love like. This has got everything. It's a love story. It's an adventure story. It's a mystery. It's a, you know, it's a revenge story too. Did I say revenge?
No, you said
okay.
Romance. Action.
Pirates, chases, escapes.
Yeah.
True love.
True.
Miracles.
Yeah. True love.
Weed. I love that.
Marriage.
Marriage
is what brings us.
When I watched that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's where Michael Scott got that in that one episode. I love it. And then, of course, Inigo Montoya is going to become the new pirate because he tells that story when they're in the, like, what is it, the Dark
the,
Swamp?
Fire Swamp?
Fire Swamp, yes.
Yeah.
Fucking rats of a normal size or abnormal
rodents of unusual size.
Yes. Oh god.
Giant 100-pound rat that tackles him. There's like three of them. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, I cannot look at a mouse or a rat on TV because it, you know, fuels my insane fear of them. And then I'll like be half asleep and I'll think I'll see them. So lately I've been like, every time I do that, just think of baby turtles. Just think there's a baby turtle crawling on your floor.
And not the fear of a rat biting your shoulder.
Yeah, it helps. I'm like, oh, I'm half asleep. Oh, it's a baby turtle. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Works. I should be a psychologist. Just saying. But when I saw those things, I was like, oh, fuck. I know they're fake puppets, but oh, Jesus
right?
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best animatronics ever.
Oh, I know, right? That's what I love about practical effects. Even in this movie, the eels, those giant fucking eels.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are terrifying.
Just shows them for like 2 seconds and lets your imagination go. But you're like, okay, that didn't look fake, so I'll go with it.
Yeah.
Nightmarish. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally.
Yeah. So I found this interesting, just some little fun facts, that during the filming of some scenes, the weather became markedly cold for Robin Wright. Andre the Giant helped her by placing one of his hands over her head. His hands were so large that he would like entirely cover the top of her head, keeping her warm.
Holy
jeez.
Shit.
You look at it. He's like, you see him compared to the other people.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's like 7 foot something, right?
In a 2012 interview with New York, Mandy Patinkin said that his most famous line from Princess Bride, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die," gets quoted back to him by at least two or three strangers every day in his life.
Wow.
He told the interviewer that he loves hearing the line, and he also loves the general fact that he got to be in the movie, stating, I'm frankly thrilled about it. I can't believe I got to be in the Wizard of Oz, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, I'm going to hold that up to like one of those very cult classic, like mm-hmm. that would hold up to Wizard of Oz.
Definitely, definitely. So, family enough to be a family classic, adventure yeah. enough to be adventure classic. Yeah,
yeah. It's got, like I said, it has it all. When asked his favorite thing about making the film, Andre the Giant replied without skipping a beat, "Nobody looks at me." He felt threatened as an, he felt treated as an equal without people staring at him because of his giant, his grand height. So he's like, he just felt like you know, one of the guys, which he did, you know, look at him like, oh, look at that giant weird person, you know? Yeah.
You just like, that's the guy in the movie. Oh, cool. Yeah. All right, go about my day. Now just like staring at him like a, I don't know, like a paparazzi would, right? Like yeah. just follow him around. But he's just kind of fit in after that. It's got, yeah. That's awesome.
Robin Wright and Carrie Ellis were smitten with each other during filming, naturally helping their chemistry in the movie. Ellis said that he couldn't concentrate on much of anything after the first encounter with Robin.
Aww.
Yes, they had they did have a really strong chemistry mm-hmm. in this movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, nothing seemed forced.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some heat. Somebody had to make out a little bit.
You know, I'm sitting here like, did they hook up at all? Does it say anything about that?
Most definitely. I'm pretty sure they baked
them. Why didn't that relationship work out?
Yeah. Because he was just like, as she wished. And she's like, fuck, I know.
I know.
You think he used that to get laid back in the day?
Possibly. If he's that kind of guy, though.
Yeah, maybe he'd use it every now and then to woo the ladies.
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, he's wooing you. Well, do you feel wooed by that when he did that to you?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Age gap problem.
Yeah, age gap. I'm pretty sure I saw a ring on his left hand, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. According to author William Goldman, when he first tried to get the movie made in the 70s, a then unknown Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to play Fezzik, and he would strongly consider because Goldman could never get his first choice, Andre the Giant, to read for the role. By the time the movie was made 12 years later, Schwarzenegger was such a big star that they couldn't afford him, and Andre was cast after all, and the two big men had gone on to become friends.
Yeah.
Nice. Everything worked out for the best. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that was his first choice. Could you imagine Schwarzenegger in that? It's like Hercules in New York. Did you ever see that?
No.
Oh God. If you've never seen it, he has this, the regular version is like someone ADRing his voice to cover up his accent. But the actual version mm-hmm. of him with his actual accent is intense. You can go on YouTube and find it. It's such a fucking weird-ass movie.
That was like, what, 1981?
Yeah.
Super, super early.
Yeah, way before Conan the Barbarian.
Hercules in New York.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I cannot imagine him as Andre the Giant in that movie, but just because, like, the first movie I saw with him in it was Predator. And so all I could mm-hmm. see is this dude with like war paint, just intense. I would just like think this murderer is going to kill everyone in here.
Yeah, plus I felt like Andre the Giant's lisp kind of added a little bit more lovable quality
yeah,
to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, a little
too.
Charm to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Director Rob Reiner left the set during Billy Crystal's scenes because he would laugh so hard that he would feel nauseated.
That's awesome.
Which, of course, they worked together on When Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie. Rob Reiner and Andrew Scheinman recorded all of Andre the Giant's scenes on tape, with Rob doing Andre's lines during rehearsals. Andre would walk around with headphones with that tape playing it all the time. That way, they didn't even have to loop his lines. That would help him, you know, memorize it more. They took care of him. It sounds like they took really good care of him.
Yeah, right. Made him feel at ease. Made him feel like, you know, one of the guys, like you said. That's awesome.
Yeah. Carrie Elwes and Robin Wright were so reluctant to end their time with the film that during their final shared scene, a horseback kiss, one or the other of them would keep requesting another take of all sorts for made-up reasons. Something's going on there. I call bang.
Yeah.
I had something in my eye. Can we
can
redo
we
that?
Just do that again?
Yeah, back to the top. Okay.
Sorry, I don't think that was an adequate.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't feel really sexy on that. Can I do that again? Maybe flip my hair?
Can I put my hair on this side of the shoulder? Is that good? Yeah? Carrie?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Billy Crystal used his Saturday Night Live makeup artist, Peter Montaga, to create the Miracle Max. He brought photos of his grandmother and Casey Stengel to help develop the look, and also brought in an uncle who had a similar bone structure.
That's awesome. That was pretty good prosthetics, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, like, yeah.
It reminded me of, like, Labyrinth or some kind of Jim Henson-y kind of quality to it.
I thought this was crazy. Liam Neeson revealed on the Graham Norton show in 2007 that he auditioned for Fezzenik. Director Rob Reiner scoffed when he heard that Neeson's height was only 6'4".
Only 6'4".
Yeah.
Giant, not giant enough.
And then he's like, well, you know what, Rob Reiner? I've got a certain set of skills in my acting, and I will come back.
I will find you.
Yeah. let's see. There was one I found that was really good. Christopher Reeve was considered for the role of Wesley. That was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was like a golden boy after the Superman stuff.
Yeah.
Right? He could have done anything.
Courtney Cox and Meg Ryan auditioned for the role of Buttercup.
I could see that. I could see Meg Ryan in that or something like that.
I don't know.
She might be a little too sarcastic.
I don't know if I could see Meg Ryan. I might be able to see Courtney Cox because she was still pretty unknown
Is that
at the time.
Before or after the Springsteen music video?
I want to say that was before.
Yeah, way unknown.
Because this came out in what, 85, 86, I think?
I believe it was...
Dancing in the Dark was like...
87.
Early
87.
Yeah. So maybe it was after that then.
We could have gotten a blonde Courtney Cox. Mm-hmm. That would have been interesting.
William Goldman claimed that Carrie Fisher was his ideal choice for Buttercup.
Aww.
I kind of feel
I
she would
like
rocked
to see
that.
Yeah.
I feel like that would actually be, like, great to see her in. She was in a lot of rain. Well, she got to be in When Harry Met Sally, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he got to work with her either way. Whoopi Goldberg campaigned for the role of Princess Buttercup.
Yeah, I don't know if I can see that.
Yeah,
like,
no.
She's not that kind of actress. She's always, like, a little bit more... She always seemed older than she was, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was always like a sage advisor. She was always like kind of a funny lady or a wise lady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Like, here's the thing. Like, I heard an interview with her, and she really wants to be in a horror movie.
Really?
Like, that's one of her dream goals is to be in, like, star in a horror movie.
She's going to be in the next Halloween now. Mm-hmm. Rob Zombie's going to cast her. That's what I have to do.
I heard Danny McBride is redoing Halloween.
Really?
Yeah. I heard that too.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Is it going to be comedy at all, or is it? It's going to be just another like horror remix kind of thing.
Well, which is weird because there's another Halloween movie coming out now. Like I think this year,
like continuing the saga or a remake?
It's supposed to be a sequel to the last one that came out
to the Rob Zombie ones.
No, to
or
the,
to Resurrection.
To Resurrection.
Oh wow!
And then of course Rob Zombie, he's given up on the Halloween. He did his 31. I actually liked his versions of them, though.
I have a love-hate relationship I didn't see the second one. The first one, there are things I like about it. There are things that I'm just like, no.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the, like, childhood origin stretched out in that one.
Yeah, that kid Michael was fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Christopher Guest's character had 6 fingers on one hand. This was meant to that his fingers go up to 11 in much the same manner that his character's amplifier did this in Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah, because he's the director of those movies, right?
Yeah. Like that's Best hilarious. In Show and Mighty Wind.
That's definitely an Easter egg that I never got when I was little.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that either. I was like, yeah, that's right. Crank it up to 11. Boom.
His fingers go up to 11.
This go to 11. Why don't you just have the loudest one be 10?
God, I love that.
Because this goes to 11.
I love the density of that character. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, well,
cuz.
See?
I wish they would like do the sequel to that movie and bring back everybody.
I know.
As,
that
like,
would be
a reunion
so great.
Tour.
Yeah, they could totally have it be like a reunion documentary thing too.
Totally could. Just out of shape, beer gut rockers that just like kind of forgot how to play instruments maybe.
Yeah, like a really shitty VH1 like behind the music.
Yeah.
God. I mean, Christopher Guest is still available.
Yeah.
Director. Right?
All of those
Harry
guys.
Harry Shearer.
Yeah. I mean,
we're having a lot of great ideas on this fucking episode.
Blockbuster Museum and This Is Spinal Tap sequel.
Yeah.
Next up.
Mm-hmm. What would we call This Is Spinal Tap sequel?
Still this in? Was Spinal Tap.
Ooh. Okay. All right. I'm not even
that's
fucking
it. Gonna no, that's it.
I'm not even gonna throw my idea in the hat. That's fucking the best one. Okay.
This Is Still Spinal Tap.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like a kind of a tragedy in the title there. This was.
Yeah, like they broke up.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it's a reunion
trying
show.
Trying to like bring them back together.
Yeah, like that'd the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
I would love to see another Spice World movie. I'm not going to lie. Not as much as the Spinal Tap.
Yeah, not as much as Spinal Tap.
I don't think Victoria Beckham would be into it. She's a little too important nowadays.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you know, I heard she did an interview like last year because I think they had just done a tour or they were thinking about getting back together for a tour. Yeah. And she said that they used to turn her microphone off because they didn't think she had the best singing voice. Oh, so like during live concerts, unless like it was her solo, a lot of the time her microphone was off. So yeah, I'm just like, I think I wouldn't want to have anything to do with that.
A little spiciness between the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
My go-to super drunk song is Spice Up Your Life. Karaoke. Like I'm really drunk.
As long as dancing is involved.
Oh yeah. You gotta dance with it.
I want to listen to the Spice Girls now.
You can listen to it later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll occasionally throw in Spice Girls in my Spotify mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little workup mix, you know. If you want to be my lover, you know, got to get it with my friends. Which I never got that lyric. Okay, it's just like a weird, like, gauntlet of friends that I got to, like, plow through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
What's the outcome of that?
On that show I Love the 90s that they had on VH1, they talk about the Spice Girls and they talk about Wannabe, and everybody's just like, if you want to get with my lover, you have to be with my friends. What do they mean by that? Like,
yeah. Was it thinking isn't easy, but friendship never ends?
Yeah.
So their friendship will survive.
Even if the boyfriend sleeps with all of them.
It's a British thing. I don't know. Maybe they just, you know.
It's just how they do it over there.
Yeah.
Zika zika.
I don't know
what that means.
For my like 11th birthday, I wanted my mom to get me the Spice Girl CD, and she refused.
I had all the Spice Girl Barbie dolls.
By the way, speaking of Spice World, that movie's incredibly fucked up.
It's, yeah.
We should do, like, a special commentary episode on that.
That would be fun.
Oh, yeah. That's
well, because if you notice in the credits, like, in the opening credits, it says, based on an idea by the Spice Girls and some other woman who eventually went to and wrote the script.
Yeah.
And I remember watching their Behind the Music, and someone said, like, we didn't have the girls take any acting lessons because we just wanted them to be themselves. And I'm like, I think some acting lessons could have helped them a little bit.
Yeah. Plus, that RV.
Yeah.
Unrealistically
large. With
Meatloaf
as the driver.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, plus, what is his name? The guy from Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Is it Bob Hoskins?
Oh, yeah. Yes, his tiny little cameo in that.
Yeah. And Alan Cumming's in that.
Yeah. You got to wonder, like, how do they get, like, these kind of, like, I don't know, well-developed, like, theater kind of actor people to, like, just do the, hey, you're going to be this bus driver, or you're going to be this waiter that just comes in and says the thing and then just...
Yeah. Well, and Elton John has, like, a small little cameo in it. Yeah.
I think it's just, like, if it's a hot thing, it's like The Office, one of the seasons they had, like, a bunch of people cameo when they're trying to replace the manager. It's like, oh, it's a hot show. I want to be on it. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Here's a couple grand. Just come in, say these two lines, you're done.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, movies, I've had a real urge to watch Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
I love Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. Yeah,
that
speaking
also
of Alan Cummings.
Yeah.
That should, for legit, we should do a special episode on that one.
That would be good.
I'm just going to rent it on iTunes tomorrow. I can't find it anywhere.
Did we talk about Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion
We have
before?
Not. Could be a lady episode.
It could be.
Yeah. Well, our next movie, I think, is severely a classic. The 1975 Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, yes.
The Knights of the Round Table.
I forgot how much I fucking love this movie, by the way. I also forgot that instead of riding horses, they would just...
bang the coconuts together.
Oh, man. And then, of course, the whole argument with the bird, like, I can't carry a coconut. Where did you get coconuts?
No,
that's a tropical
fruit. It's the introduction to every character. They come over the hill, and they're just talking about these coconuts. Like, what the hell is going on? But it's hilarious.
It's so good. And just the way that they ride, they're just like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Give it up, manservant. I just like the random-ass scenes in this movie. Like, when he thinks he sees the Holy Grail, and then he goes into the castle for the women, and then they, like, try to rescue him. He's like, no, let me be tortured just a little bit. And then the random, like, cutaway scenes with the cartoons that they do.
Yeah.
The
and
cartoon
there was
animation.
Much rejoicing.
Yeah, it added so much to it. So good.
John Cleese and Eric Idle are my favorite in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Idle is one of my favorite rando movies from the 90s.
Eric Idle was Sir Robin, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a rando movie with him and Rick Moranis called Splitting Hairs. Or Splitting Hairs.
I think I've heard of that one.
It's great. It's a great movie. We had it when I was a kid, and I can never find it anywhere.
Hmm.
But it's great. Like, Eric Idle's, you know, he's this, like, reporter, and he ends up having to, like... I think he works for a business and has to go work with Rick Moranis, who's the king. But then you find out Eric Idle was the lost baby who should be king. And he's trying to sabotage everything. Catherine Zeta-Jones is in it randomly.
Kind of a zany plot.
Huh.
Yeah. It's got a good theme song to it, too. His adoptive parents, which reminds me of The Jerk. His adoptive parents are Hindu, like Indians.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, which it's perfect. If you can find it, watch it. But Eric Idle and John Cleese, as I'm mentioning... both my favorites. Just their multiple characters, like
mm-hmm.
Tim the like sorcerer, like
that's so good, because like, you know, there's only so many guys in Monty Python, but they have to fill this cast of these like villagers and the other knights and wizards and all this stuff, and they pull it off marvelously. It's just so crazy.
Yeah, of course, the classic, like, you know, Black Knight, tis his but to scratch, like,
oh my god, Black Knight
scene. Yeah,
talk about like rewatchable. I mean, you know, like every movie that I used to watch as a child, I'd watch it like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
It was just that Friday night you'd watch it, and you'd rewatch the Black Knight scene 15 times in a row.
Yeah.
Until you were laughing so much that your face hurt, you know.
Well, that and like the Rabbit scene, of course, is like probably one of the best rewatchable scenes in
the Oh, definitely.
Run away!
Just this innocent little white fur ball rips your head off.
What, behind the rabbit? No, it is the rabbit.
Too good.
I also just love that, like, Prince who's supposed to get married, and then John Cleese's character
that's
just goes in.
I think that's my favorite.
Oh yeah,
scene out of
he just goes in and slaughters everybody,
kicks the bride in the chest, and then cuts the support rope for this prince, and he just drops to his proposed, you know,
come,
death.
Sir Lancelot, he's come to rescue me, father.
He thinks it was like a princess. Like, oh, I thought it was a princess.
Tries to back out of it after he's like, no, it wasn't, no.
Let's not get, anyway. Let's not get carried away.
I also like the we are the knights who say ni, and because they want shrubs.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And then they get shrubs and they're like, oh, we want more shrubs.
Now we want shrubbery. Fish. We want the herring.
I want you to chop this tree down with a herring. Yeah.
And it never really explained, like, why are they... like 19 feet tall, right? They're just like actor on top of actor shoulders on top of actor shoulders, and they're just standing in the woods.
Well, they never explained the three like headed knight either.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That never got.
I kind of want to know how does that guy eat? How does that guy go about his day?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, who controls which arm? I had so many questions when I was little.
I think of it as like Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear and Stuck on You, but with an extra like inconvenience.
Totally. Well, maybe like maybe the left head has left arm and left leg. The right head has right arm, right leg. The middle guy has what's in the middle?
Control of the junk.
Yeah, right. Someone's got to control the bladder flow.
Oh, that'd be so. This has a really bad thought. Oh God.
Speaking of Sir Robin, though, I think that was like when it was just Sir Robin alone, gallivanting alone, and it was just his cowardice and his minstrels, and that was the best.
Sir Robin ran away.
Yeah. I did not.
They're mocking him as they're making their escape.
One of my favorite scenes is when they're like trying to declare that the woman's a witch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, no, but what is like a bird that swims?
So if she weighs more than a duck, she's a witch.
The and logic train that they're on.
I love
so
her,
good.
And I love her reaction, like when she does. Is it more or less than a duck?
I think
like
if
that?
She weighs more than a duck.
Yeah. I just love that when they do prove it, she's like, well, that's fair enough.
And yeah, she's going
to stop him anymore.
Her fate of burning at the stake or something.
Well, what about your nose? They put this on me.
Yeah. And she's like, they're just like, so she's made of wood? She's a witch burner! Like, every, like, he's like, no, calm down.
So good. That whole scene, that kind of reminds me of, like, a Patton Oswalt skit or something.
Yeah,
that sounds like a bit he would be doing on stage and just be it makes sense, whatever, burner, yeah, fine. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like his, have you ever heard his, like, joke about God? It's just an invisible, sucky asshole, like, in the sky that people said, like, oh, we should torture each other. But it's like, no, but there's an invisible asshole that will suck you in the sky, but if you're good, you'll get cake.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love his theocracy, theology jokes.
Oh, yeah.
They're the best because they're such a... Yeah, I mean, it makes sense of how he says it, too.
I just got his book, Silver Screen Fiend. Like, I'm really excited to read.
Oh, is it, like, come out this year?
No, it's been out for a while, but it talks about his experience, like, wasting a lot of time. His, he considers wasting a lot of time seeing movies.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited. I'm finishing the Kevin Smith Tough Shit book. So as soon as that's done, I have to, like... Supposedly, it will make you feel like... You don't watch movies as much as you should. Make you feel guilty about watching movies.
Make it make you feel better about your movie watching habits.
I just got told I would feel guilty.
Is it an audiobook?
They probably have an audiobook.
Yeah, I would totally listen to that.
Yeah, I just got the paperback book. It was awesome.
I'm way too lazy to read.
Yeah. That's Audible. There you go.
I know, right? Yeah, you just put it on when you're in the car. Put it on when you're editing photos. Bam.
Oh, this made me want to, like, rewatch all of The Flying Circus, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Life of Brian. Oh, and yeah. All of those things they made. So good.
They're like, I love the chemistry between the cast and everything and just the random jokes. Like, British humor has always been something, like, I loved. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the original British Office.
Like, oh, yeah. A couple episodes. Yeah. I had no idea that Bilbo was in those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, some of the, it gets really weird. Like, Dwight's British version, like, ending up, like, trying to hit on a girl, and then she, like, takes him home, but she ends up having a boyfriend, so he's just trying to rope him into a threesome.
Yeah, they take the awkwardness level just to, like, the max. I mean, it reminds me a lot of, like, what was it, the IT Crowd or something like that. Just those office dynamics, they're not that off, but they're just, you know, a little bit elaborated, a little
they,
bit
They
little
just
crazy.
Released a Netflix movie with the David Brant character from The Office. Like, I forget what it's called. I just, like, did the Netflix download thing for it.
Is that the one that Ricky Gervais was the character for?
Yeah. So, I guess it's, like, a continuation of his story or something.
He is a crazy boss. Like, I'd rather have Steve Carell as my boss than... Ricky Gervais is my boss. He's the other one. He's way too awkward. I can't, even watching an episode, I can't get through it because he's just, I don't know, you get shy in front of the TV. Yeah.
Well, like, I love that, like, when they meet up, like, in one, the beginning of a random episode.
Yeah.
And he's like, comedy is where people, where life goes to tickle itself or to play with itself or something like that.
Like, they're waiting for an elevator or something, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know what to say to that.
I love John Cleese. I've probably said this before. I love John Cleese's random cameo in 30 Rock from the, or Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his little character, like, in that. Well, he was a random alien in that show as well.
Yeah, like, him and William Shatner and all these people are just kind of, like, were from the other planet, and they just kind of showed up on Earth.
Yeah. No, I so love good. John Cleese. Like, everything I've ever seen him in is great. Even his, like, little role in Rat Race.
Mm-hmm. As the eccentric billionaire.
Yeah,
so good.
I don't know if you guys have any, like, hidden gems behind, besides the ones that we've mentioned, that you just feel like really make this movie for you. But what do you think stands out about this movie, being as old as it is, still makes you want to watch it throughout the years?
That's a good question.
Probably just the absurdity of it all.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I like how it's you know, it's so random and it's just like, what are these people talking about? But then you'll get those scenes of like King Arthur talking to the peasants in the middle of nowhere and he hasn't met any other of the knights yet. And they're talking about, like, you know, the government systems, and he's actually, like, going on about like the system of government, all this, and then he has just vocabularies off the charts and totally unnecessary for this peasant, but then, you know, and he just starts strangling him. He's like, shut up, I can't have this. I think it's the absurdity mixed with, like, you know, there's some actual logic in what they're saying.
Yeah.
But then it's just, you know, and then it's off the rails.
I wish they would, like, get together and do, like, kind of like a reunion. I'm like, big on reunions.
I think they did, like, a stage reunion show last year or something. It seems like I remember hearing about that.
Oh, really?
But I think it was only over in London.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. They should totally do, like a talk show reunion. Mm-hmm. Like Graham Norton. He has a good show. They could totally have the Monty Python cast on that show and just do, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I love the random historian that just gets killed for no reason.
Yeah, and then there's like the ongoing murder investigation throughout the movie.
With normal police.
Yeah. You
know, they're not medieval or anything like that.
Yeah. I just love everything about this movie. During the production, the troupe became increasingly irritated by the press, who seemed to always ask the same question, what will your next project be? So one day, Eric Idle flippantly answered, Jesus Christ, lust for glory. Having discovered that this answer quickly shut up the reporters, the group adapted it as their stock answer. So after production completed, they did some serious thinking about it and realized that while satirizing Christ himself was out of the question, they could create a parody of first century life, later realizing that would be Life of Brian.
Oh, wow. Kind of came out of nowhere, yeah. Really.
Yeah, I love that. It's like how Beerfest came from, like, the Super Troopers guys. Like, were touring, and everybody would challenge them to, like, beer, like, competitions, and then they went to an actual beer fest in Germany, like, as they were touring at World Tour, and then, like, ended up making that it.
And they're just like, hey, we're a bunch of friends, we're having fun, let's do this, let's make this a movie.
I thought this was weird. Funds earned by Pink Floyd's album The Dark Side of the Moon went towards funding for Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The fans the band was such fans of the show that they would halt recording sessions just to watch Monty Python's Flying Circus.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know, right? The famous depiction of galloping horses by using coconut shells, a traditional radio show sound effect, came about from the purely practical reason that the production simply could not afford real horses. So I thought they, like, used what they had. They made it into a funny bit with it.
Yeah, like the limitations that a production have kind of makes it better somehow. You just find another way to do it, and it works.
God is, in fact, a photograph of the famous 19th century English cricketer W.G. Grace. Which I did not know that.
Yeah, just the one that's in the clouds, and it's just like kind of Canadian South Park flapping around up there.
He's like, shut up and search for the Holy Grail. They're like, stop praising me.
Stop groveling.
Yeah. In the killer rabbit scene, a real white rabbit was used. He was dyed with what was assumed to be washable red coloring liquid in the shots after the battle. While filming Rat, the rabbit's owner was dismayed to learn that the dye could not be rinsed off. Terry Gilliam described in the audio commentary that the odor of the rabbit was present, and shooting was abruptly halted while the cast desperately attempted to clean the rabbit before the owner found out, and unsuccessfully that attempt did not work. So he also stated that he thought that had they been more experienced in filmmaking, the crew would have just purchased a rabbit instead. Otherwise, the rabbit himself was unharmed. So the rabbit bite effects were done via special puppetry by both Terry Gilliam and SFX technician John Horton. Can you imagine they're like, stop filming, we've got to clean this rabbit.
Get it? Someone get a toothbrush.
Yeah. It's fucking trainer's going to kill us.
At least they didn't use a real grenade on the real rabbit.
The Enchanter's name is Tim because John Cleese forgot the character's original name, and he ad-libbed the line, there are some who call me Tim. So I thought that was pretty funny.
That's so good. It's one of those scenes that just stays in.
Yeah. I actually found a Tim the Enchanter Funko Pop yesterday, and I'm so sad I didn't buy it.
A what one?
Tim the Enchanter Funko Pop.
No.
Like, they have a bunch of, like, Monty Python mm-hmm. ones. My girlfriend bought Bill and Ted from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of jealous of that. And I got a Marty McFly. I've been looking for that fucking thing everywhere.
I love those things. You can find almost anything. I got a gifted Joker one. You
know, Christmas. Nice.
Yeah, super cool.
During the witch hunt, Eric Idle bares his teeth and bites down on the blade of the scythe he's holding. This was not scripted. Idle was actually about to burst out laughing and bit his sister to stifle himself so as not to spoil the take. If you look closely, you can see him shaking slightly, trying to keep his laughter under control. Michael Palin can be seen hiding laughter at the same time as well, while early in the scene, John Cleese quickly turns his head to one side just before the shot cuts, though not quickly enough to hide that he's broken character and is grinning broadly. All comment on each other's corpsing in the DVD commentary. I actually kind of want to listen to the DVD commentary of this.
Yeah, I didn't even know they had one. That's, that's one to listen to, though.
I feel like this would be a good one, too. John Cleese's Tim the Enchanter actually stood on the pinnacle scene at the beginning of a scene. On one side was a drop He said could have killed him, and the other was a drop he said could have maimed him. To make matters worse, the wind kept threatening to push him over the other side, so between takes he would crouch down to avoid being pushed over by the wind.
Oh, Jesus.
The whole experience was one he remembers as being very frightening, but he did it anyways because he knew what kind of budget and the timelines that they had to work with. I don't think they really had a huge budget. Maybe probably like a few thousand dollars for this. Like, it's probably very low budget.
This is not a $70 million film.
Oh, yeah. Yet it grossed insanely a huge amount. So for the Japanese release, Holy Grail is translated as Holy Sake Cup.
Sweet.
That was crazy. Sir, not appearing in this film, is Michael Palin's infant son, William. There was something... Oh, the gorilla hand that turns the pages was director Terry Gilliam's. The hand turning the pages before that is that of Gilliam's wife.
Oh, yeah, because they had like a physical story being told, and yeah. Like, the priest in the tower was like writing the stuff down.
Yeah.
In an auction of movie costumes in March 2007, the helmets worn by Sir Brevidier, Terry Jones' character, sold for $29,000, more than 10 times the original budget.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Do you imagine owning, like, a piece of that?
If you owned the Black Knight costume?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just take all of its arms off and just keep it in the corner?
Yeah, right.
Get back here, I'll just bite your
have
nipples.
It on a mannequin at all times in the corner of the room. Yeah, definitely.
So Led Zeppelin and Genesis also contributed to the film's budget.
Holy crap.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, the movie actually starts with an opening sequence of Dennis on the Job. I didn't notice that either. It's crazy, like, those bands were so big fans of, like, Monty Python that they contributed to it.
Yeah, contributed their time and, like, thousands of dollars and stuff. It's crazy.
So Connie Booth, John Cleese's then wife, was the witch.
John Cleese's wife was the witch?
Yeah, the then wife. I guess they got divorced. This is weird. Additional cat abuse includes a cat being stepped on during the Knights of Camelot dance scene.
Oh, yeah.
Which was left in the film. I totally forgot about
that. Was a real cat?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought that cat sound effect was so
fake. Yeah, I thought it was fake, too. I didn't know they like, oh, let's just leave it in. Okay. Let's see. Some major scenes scripted but never filmed were additional Knights Who Say Knee scene. They intended to call themselves the Knights Who of Nicky Nicky. Additional police detective scenes. Several scenes where Arthur and the Knights met King Brian the Wild. After the bridge keeper, they came upon the boat keeper. He who would cross the Sea of Fate must answer these questions 28. Arthur and his Knights end up finding the Holy Grail at London's famous Harrods department store. So that was kind of, it must be like some like deleted scenes, but I guess they of course never filmed those. The King of Swamp Capital says that Sir Lancelot killed all those guards that cost 50 pounds each, meaning that Sir Lancelot killed about 300 pounds worth of guards. So I totally forgot that they put the whole money amount on that.
Yeah, the Swamp Castle scene.
Yeah. So the theatrical release contains 527 jokes, including 42 in the opening credits, and for an average of one joke every 10.5 seconds.
That is quite a ratio.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic film. Like, I feel like this is one that ages really well, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's in, like, 75, and now it's 2017. People still love it.
Like, what is that, 41 years?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, I can still watch that every couple of weeks, every couple of months, you know, something like that.
Just have a
party where people just come and, like, have popcorn and have a beer or whatever, kind of pay attention to the movie, you know, totally for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love if it could be done, having them bring, like, those guys to Comic-Con.
Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Could you imagine, like, how awesome that would be?
That would be the best, like, secret guest, too. They just come and say, it's like, here's the creators of Solid Comic-Con, blah, blah, blah. They're like, how are you doing? Oh, by the way, we have some guest here. And then John Cleese just walks on the stage.
Oh, hello.
People would lose their minds.
Oh, God, I'd lose my shit, too.
Yeah.
Our final movie is the 2005 Kingdom of Heaven, which, pretty dark movie, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty long movie, too. Yes,
different from the last two.
You got Orlando Bloom, Eva Green, Liam Neeson in this movie. Which I thought this movie just starting off right away, they're burying his wife. And then, of course, his half-brother priest is like, cut her head off. And then, of course, he mentions it to Orlando Bloom's character, who Orlando Bloom, rightfully so, fucking stabs him and pushes him in that fire.
Yeah, right. Perfectly setting the tone for this movie. Yeah. Like, nobody wants to be alive. Nobody's enjoying it. Here you go.
Look at this way. That guy had a fucked up day. My kid died. Wife committed suicide. My half-brother cut her head off. Liam Neeson says he's my fucking dad.
Yeah, right. It's freezing. I'm out of work. I'm going to stab the next person who talks to me.
But it's like, it kind of has that like Braveheart feel to it too.
Totally.
It's like a lot of intense battles, a really like in-depth storyline. You know, what did you feel with some of your favorite moments from this movie?
You know, overall, I just was enthralled by the idea because it's a Ridley Scott movie. When the trailer came out, it was just kind of like, oh man, this kind of seems like Lord of the Rings mixed with Gladiator, Braveheart, sorry. So yeah, I don't know. I really have a thing for just medieval movies and whatever. It's really just kind of fun to watch the hero's quest just over and over as many times as you can. But going into this movie, I didn't really know what to think. And then I really took away from it. Orlando Bloom's not a bad actor. You know, I mean, like he kind of carries the movie on his own. I love how Liam Neeson's in this movie, but he doesn't overpower it. He plays like a good father figure and kind of just, all right, he's gone. And then, you know, the little things like Eva Green's kind of breakout role for me. Like, I didn't even know who she was.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was in a lot of like indie films, a lot of foreign stuff. And then just the religious aspect of it is kind of cool. Like, you know, both sides kind of end up like kind of respecting each other, you know, blah, blah, blah. It kind of gets into that. And, you know, the fight choreography is also fun. I mean, the sword fights, it kind of doesn't do shaky cam. It doesn't do quick cuts. It kind of like actually lets you see some of that stuff. Someone gets shot through the neck and they kind of fight for a little bit and then they're down. It's super cool. It's a adult Lord of the Rings mixed with, you know, Gladiator with some little Bible influence in there. That's what it was to me.
Plus some of the death scenes are pretty intense too. If you, like the fire part, like I was mentioning earlier, you see the guy fucking burning alive after he's been stabbed.
Oh my God. Yeah. Screaming at the top of his lungs. And Orlando Bloom's just like, yeah, you deserve this.
Well, and then even, like, the, I can't remember the character's name, like, killing the two people and, like, mailing their heads off to, like, someone else, like, later in the film.
Oh, was it after they're in Jerusalem?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was, like, the Knights Templar. That's the one aspect I totally forgot about, because it's, like, totally historical. The Knights Templar were a superpower for, like, 300 years, and they were insane. They would just do whatever they wanted, and this film kind of played on that. You know, they cut off the leader's sister's head and they're like, we'll send it to her. We'll just murder all these people. Don't care what the king says. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, plus you have like the king who has leprosy and then, you know, he's dying off. And the other king takes his place and then you find out he's got leprosy and then she fucking kills him. You know?
Yeah, right? Like poison. Did she put poison in his ear or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, super dark. Did you know that the main king with the mask on, that's Edward Norton?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, he never shows his face, but it's his voice kind of muffled by the mask and whatever. But, yeah, it's him playing it.
Interesting.
Edward Norton's in, like, some random roles. Like, did you ever see, like, The Invention of Lying?
Oh, no.
So it's, like, a Ricky Gervais film, and he, like, shows up as, like, a crooked cop. And then I know he, like, voices, like, a Jewish bagel in Sausage Party.
That's so random.
Yeah.
I've seen all these things, but, like, you know, in Sausage Party, I don't recognize Edward Norton's voice, really.
Yeah.
You kind of recognize his presence, but, you know, voiceover. He's not one of those distinctive, that's Edward Norton.
Yeah, but he does a really good, like, Jewish voice, like, for that, that bagel part in Sausage Party.
And he's kind of, like, playing off of the, was it falafel? Super, super racist.
Yeah.
But, it was super good.
Well, and then this, speaking of the whole, like, religion aspect, they're trying to, like, well, I believe they're, like, trying to start a war with Muslim.
I can't remember which crusade it is. It's, like, loose history, right? I mean, like, every historical thing. But it's, like, crusades and Christians trying to take over Jerusalem, Muslims trying to take it back, blah, blah, blah. But this is Kingdom of England trying to take, just, like, you know, take back every site they can by murdering whoever. And then they don't realize that the people living there just still have to live there, and there's normal people and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's kind of cool era of time.
Yeah, it's got an interesting like ending to it, too, because I remember they like those two end up visiting his wife's grave and kind of write off signifying their new life together. And then it has like the Holy Land still eludes us kind of like epilogue thing to it, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like it's got a lot of like weird, like it, I feel like it's pretty, for the most part, it seems like historically accurate. A lot of the war stuff that went on, probably just different characters, of course.
But yeah, still. I mean, I'm sure like Orlando Bloom's character probably wasn't like a real guy or something. Yeah. But, you know, England did invade. Saladin did like try and fight back. You know, that kind of stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah. Even like Liam Neeson's also like random death in this too. He gets like killed by an arrow that ends up breaking off of his body, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, right. And he's only in the movie for maybe, what, 20 minutes? He finds his son. Hey, come with me. He actually convinces him to, and then he dies immediately. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. You think Liam Neeson's going to be an Obi-Wan kind of character throughout the whole thing, and he's just outed immediately. Yeah.
But he ends up knighting him before he dies, before he like succumbs to his injuries.
You know, has to, because all of his possessions would have gone to like the corrupt system, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of forget like how crazy the whole like English kingdom and stuff like that was back then in the Middle Ages. You know, it's all this like people dying for their land and their king and queen. And
yeah, medieval law makes no sense. Just like, hey, like peasant, you can have this field, but you have to give me your food. And then like, you have to call me king and do whatever I say. Cool. Good.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
I have like two random medieval comedy movies that I absolutely love. And I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this. I might get shit from you on this. A Kid in King Arthur's Court.
I haven't seen that in forever. Yeah. I remember seeing that movie in theaters.
Oh,
actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved that movie. That and Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
I remember Black Knight.
I own Black Knight. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's still funny to me. It's so dumb, but it's still funny to me. It's like they just recently released the complete collection of Beavis and Butthead.
Nice.
So I was watching that with my girlfriend, laughing my ass off over the weekend, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a fucking idiot, but this is hilarious. Like, I just couldn't get over it. Like,
no, you have to watch stuff that makes you happy, and if, like, there's so many things that just like you cannot stop laughing at, and you're just like looking around, like, I'm sorry, but this is fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Something about like a random dumbass going like in the medieval, like, not saying Martin Lawrence is a dumbass, but I was thinking more like some of the movies to where like people like who are like goofy go back in time and like mess stuff up.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, it's like a Bill and Ted's kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah. That's more what
kind
I was
of
thinking,
like a teenagers, nerds, like modern person going back, and you know, it's a story that's been done before. But yeah, it's a different take when it's Martin Lawrence and when it's a comedian. It's someone famous. Yeah.
Well, like Bill and Ted, they're kind of dumbasses who go back in time and kind of like, you know, they're like, hey, princess girls, we love you.
Socrates, come with us.
Oh, man, I miss that movie. They're still talking about doing a third one.
I know, I really wish they do, but like, is it Billy Winter that played...
Alex Winter.
Alex Winter, yeah. So he hasn't been in much, right? So it's like, I don't know, like, is he even up for it? I haven't heard anything on his side, but I totally wish they would. Which one do you like better? Do you like Excellent Adventure or do you like Bogus Journey better?
Excellent Adventure clearly is like the best choice, but Bogus Journey does have its like good parts.
Yeah, when they're like in hell and they have to go back to like their grandma and the Easter Bunny nightmares.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up, but it's so cool. You know, I actually saw Bogus Journey before I saw Excellent Adventure. I didn't even know Excellent Adventure existed until like 5 years later.
I think Bogus Journey kind of gets a little more publicity, I guess, than Excellent Adventure does, probably because it's so absurd and stupid, but so great.
I mean, it
as
has
well.
Death, it has robots. I mean, yeah, the other one has time travel and stuff like that, but I don't know. You've had movies with time travel before. You haven't had movies with aliens, death, robots,
because,
music saving the world.
Well, because Excellent Adventure came out right around the same time as Back to the Future, didn't it?
Yeah, I think
Seems like. Yeah.
I feel like it was like in that same time frame.
It seemed like 3 years or something.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of like experimenting with like the sci-fi comedy.
Genre. Yeah.
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 I really want to buy a phone booth just to make a replica of that Bill and Ted. Just put it like a shitty like umbrella like thing as the antenna. I feel like it could be done.
I wonder where you'd find one. You probably go to just a scrap yard. I bet a junkyard or something like that would just have a phone booth sitting around.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a movie we need to talk about. Phone booth.
Phone booth?
Yeah. I love phone booth.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. Maybe I'm thinking of another movie that's similar.
What movie are you thinking of?
I can't remember, but I don't think it is Phone Booth. I think Kiefer Sutherland is in the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland's in Phone Booth.
In Phone Booth?
Yeah. With Colin Farrell. Whichever one.
I think it's Colin Farrell. The Irish guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have to give that movie another chance.
I think you do.
Maybe I'm thinking of something completely different.
Well, that's a crazy movie. I mean, it was shot in 11 days or something? And it was Kiefer Sutherland was voiceover 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. He only shows up at the end and they used, I think, literally the last phone booth that was in New York City at the time because cell phones were starting to really become big.
Yeah.
You know what we could do with that is Ransom with Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe throw in something
Could also
else.
Do Cellular.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of over-the-phone, hostage-y, tense situations.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right. There you go.
Building a new episode. I like this. So Ridley Scott received many letters of thanks and congratulations from Muslim groups for his even-handed depiction of their religion.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. That's one of the things I thought was kind of, it's not really cool as in they did it and it looked really cool or anything like that. It just, they tried to be at least somewhat accurate.
Yeah.
And try and humanize both sides. It wasn't really just Darth Vader versus the Rebellion. It was just these two people, two religions.
Yeah.
This here's what happened.
I know that both director Ridley Scott and writer William Mohannon felt that the unnamed character played by David Thewlis was an embodiment of God, or at that very least, an angel on a mission from God. This is not in the apparent theatrical cut, but in the director's cut, there are two scenes which strongly hint at it. One, where the character seemingly disappeared after a conversation with Orlando Bloom's character. The other, where he seems to resurrect Balian after his attack and injuries by the three assassins.
Oh, yeah. I forgot David Thewlis was in this. There's so many actors that have kind of cameo roles, but in deleted scenes, the director's cut, like you said, I mean, they have 15 minutes of really good stuff. Yeah, David Thewlis really added a lot to the character, and he really played the tutelage in Jerusalem, saying here's how things work, sorry this sucks, are you okay, kind of helped him out a little bit, and then out of the scene.
I thought this was interesting. Ridley Scott disowned the theatrical cut. He claims the director's cut is the definitive version.
I could totally agree with that.
Yeah. See, I've only seen the theatrical cut of this.
Director's cut, I want to say, adds maybe 30 minutes to it.
Oh, okay.
But it adds so much more. It's if you saw Batman versus Superman theatrical cut versus director's cut. I mean, if you thought that made a difference, this one is the theatrical version of Kingdom of Heaven is maybe a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I think the director's cut's maybe an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Maybe
it actually
give the director's cut a chance.
Gets a little in depth there. Yeah.
Nice. Oddly enough, the flag budget for this film was $250,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
The flag budget. The budget for flags.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's not
a total. I didn't hear a flag part. I thought that was just the budget. I was that's all they gave them for this movie?
In total, 1,200 flags were compromised. 650 separate designs were made in Spain, England, Morocco, and India.
I can see that, though. You have an army. You have you need those flags.
Mm-hmm.
Spears.
Yeah. Orlando Bloom gained 20 pounds of muscle for this movie. He is pretty buff in this, pretty good shape in this movie.
A little less like Legolas, a little more like action hero.
So most of the swords and battle axes were made from lightweight aluminum.
Which, that's kind of disappointing.
They seem realistic enough.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom suffered from a month of flu during the movie and a couple of hand injuries from sword fighting. Yeah, man, that would suck, being on set of a movie and just, you're sick as fuck, but yet you still have to rock it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And then maybe he did his own stunts that's why he got injured or something, but if you're just not feeling it that day, and you're I gotta swing this 60-pound sword and fight all day long, really? All right, fine. I guess you're paying me, whatever.
Yeah. The little toy soldier on the horse prop seen in the extended version now belongs to Lisa Esley, who keeps it on her office desk.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I like when people keep little you know, little tchotchkes from
the
film.
Memorabilia nobody's gonna miss.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom was cast for this movie the day after he finished shooting Troy.
Oh wow. I would I would personally think I like Troy. It's, you know, yeah. It's not a bad movie. But I would think that that role would make him less eligible for this role.
Yeah.
Just because he played kind of a wimp in Troy. You know, he had a one action scene, kind of got some good shots with an arrow in there, and then he was kind of like, oh, really? That's it? It's kind of like a disappointment kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't notice this, but for the final scene where Balian runs his hand along the sapling planted by his wife and sees that it's starting to bud, a subtle digital effect plays a pivotal role in the shot. The plant used in the scene had no buds, so all the buds seen were shot 100% CG.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's pretty good CG if I didn't even... Yeah.
For 2005, 6, 7, something like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. CG in that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So what we do at the end of the podcast, we have everybody choose their favorite. So you're our esteemed guest. What would you say your favorite is out of the three?
Favorite out of those three?
It's a tough question.
That's so hard. But like whenever someone asks me, what's your favorite anything? It's always, what do I want more of? What can I rewatch? What can I, you know, what's your favorite food? It's like pizza. I can eat pizza all day long.
Yeah.
I gotta say Princess Bride. It's probably because it's so nostalgic. Cause like I watched that when I was so young over and over and over, and it's endlessly quotable and just, I don't know. I mean, you could say the same thing about Monty Python, but there's just something else a little bit about it. A little more variety inside of Princess Bride.
Yeah. Okay.
Makes it that much more palatable. You know, there's adventure, there's action, there's romance, blah blah blah.
Would you say you have a favorite character in Princess Bride?
You know, when I was little, it was Inigo Montoya, just because like he was such a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. When we would, you know, sword fight with my cousins and friends, that's who I always was.
Nice.
Everyone always wanted to be Wesley, and I was like, fuck, I'll be this guy. But looking back, I'd have to say it's probably maybe Fezzik, or just someone, one of the side characters that's kind of just funny.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Just kind of wanted to add a little spice to it. Like, you know, Billy Crystal, but he wasn't in it enough to be a favorite character. So, yeah, I would say Fezzik was probably my favorite.
I agree with you. Like, Fezzik was, like, one of my favorites. And then Inigo Montoya. But,
yeah,
because, you know, like, Wesley's character, he's the hero.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's supposed to love him.
I know. You have to love the hero.
Yeah.
But I kind of gear towards the lovable scoundrels of the films. You know, they're not heroes, but they're doing okay.
Yeah, the lovable sidekick is always usually the most loved one.
Definitely.
So, yeah. What about you, Quincy?
I'd have to go with Princess Bride as well.
Princess Bride, okay.
Yeah. Similar reasons, nostalgic. It's in my top 10 favorite films as well.
Yeah,
I just
top
love it.
25, something like that. Yeah. Sure.
It's just great. Endlessly quotable. Fun to watch.
Did you also have some favorite characters?
I like Inigo.
Yeah.
He's my favorite because, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, Wesley is a hero. But when you really think about it, I think Inigo is the main hero. Because if it hadn't been for him, Wesley wouldn't have been, like, taken to get help and resurrected and been there to save Buttercup. I mean, he does come up with the plan to, like, get into the castle
and save
her.
He'd be in the pit of despair just being a vegetable
forever.
On that
no
table.
One would have found out about him if it hadn't been for Inigo. And I think Inigo just really gets the most... He gets his revenge, and it's not like, well, what do I do with my life now? But there's a quick fix to that because he'll become the Dread Pirate Roberts and have a lot of fun with that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I like looking at this movie, like Inigo kind of had like a Steve Martin look to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I wonder like what Steve Martin would have done with that role.
I don't know.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't fault you there, though.
Yeah.
I love British humor, even as a kid. My grandpa showed me this movie when I was 4.
Yeah.
And I laughed my little balls off at that movie. And I still laugh to this day. When I was rewatching it for the podcast, I'm like, oh my God, I gotta rewind it and like watch that part again. I'm laughing. There's so many parts in that where you can rewind it and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really want to like listen to the commentary for it now.
Yeah.
I'm really curious. I have to check that out. Logan, where can people follow you and all the great stuff you're doing?
I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all at L.M. Sorensen. So it's my full name is a little too long. So it's L.M.S.O.R.E.N.S.O.N. And L.M. Sorensen Photography on Facebook. And yeah, I'll post stuff there. I try and blog when I can.
Nice.
And post things about what I'm doing and... you know, trips or events, stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely check out, all the great work that you do. You do some really fantastic photography.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really excited to see what you do with Comic-Con.
Yeah, I'm super stoked about it. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm hoping you get some great Weird Al pictures for that.
Definitely, definitely.
You guys, of course, can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/trustyournerds, and on Twitter @trustyournerds. And if you have a recommendation for a movie or a theme, trustyourmovienerds@gmail.com. And, of course, like I said, February 28th, me, Tim, Jesse, and Austin, we're going to be doing Tim's live episode for his 100th episode of On the Mic podcast. So in the show notes, you will see a link for that to get your tickets. They're only $10. We're also going to have, you know, the awesome gals from Lady to Lady podcast, which is an amazing, you know, female-driven podcast. It's hilarious. So if you haven't checked that out, definitely check it out. Of course, past guest Brandy Posey is one of the fantastic panelists on that show, as well as Barbara Gray and Tess Barker. So definitely check that out. I've been your host, Christopher James.
I'm Quincy Staker.
Good night, everybody.